Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." He did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord lays the cross on all of us. And we do not get to choose our own crosses. It'd be nice if we could, but we can't. Because who would choose their cross to be that their daughter, the body of their daughter, the mind of their daughter, is severely oppressed by a demon? Or like Jacob, you know, you've got to flee in fear before your own brother, the shaman, right? He did not get to choose. The Lord God Almighty tempts no one, but he does lay a cross of suffering and humility, the cross of affliction and adversity upon each one of us. And thanks be to God for it. Because contrary to the way that this world thinks, or the way that the wisdom of this world goes, or the way every other religion in the world goes for that matter, this is good for us. The cross is good for us. Our Father mercifully lays a cross on you. Now, why in the world would he ever do that? He does it that your flesh might be disciplined, that you would be formed by the cross, that your lives would look cruciform, that you'd be able to control your body in honor to him and in holiness. Because you see, the Holy Spirit has made your bodies his tabernacle. He has made your body the Holy of Holies, where he comes to dwell and to live and to work. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a refiner's fire, purifying your faith through the cross just like silver or gold. He strengthens and fortifies you like steel. It's by the cross that Jesus pulls out that which is impure and weak within you, that he abolishes all remaining excuses of self-reliance. Right, of confidence in yourself that never amounts to anything, that you would cling to him only and nothing else. What's the problem with this? Oh, that sounds great, and it is, ultimately, but fire hurts. Fire hurts. I know this because I know it well. Because last week, I burnt myself up pretty good, just being stupid, not paying enough attention, being careless. This is why the flesh hates the Holy Cross. This is why the flesh wants to run away from the cross, from everything that looks or even smells like suffering. We are told, especially today, especially in this day and age, we are told by all manner of modern-day charlatans and snake oil salesmen that the way of Jesus Christ should be what? Easy. The way of Christ should be crossless. It should be painless. Once you believe in Jesus, everything is just going to fall into place. Everything will be great. And God will bless you with what? What do they say? Yep, riches, right? Money. Everything that your flesh needs and lusts after. Thinks it needs anyway. Right? God will give you all of this in abundance. Why will God not do that? Because it will ruin you. It will ruin you, absolutely ruin us. If we were to give everything that our heart lusts after, it would ruin us. After all, isn't it easier to measure the proof of God's favor by prosperity, by success, by how much stuff a person has? We think that it is, right? We look at all sorts of people and think this. But look at the world around you. What the flesh doesn't understand and what you and I so easily forget. I'll speak for myself anyway. I so easily forget, especially when the economy crashes, interest rates are whatever they are, through the roof now, when China is barreling toward ascendancy, when rust and moth destroy, when thieves break in and steal, when hearts of men fail again and again. You lose your job, you fight with your family, schools become war zones, and you and your loved ones are surrounded by evil on every single side. What we forget is that God does not promise an easy, carefree, crossless life. That is promised to us nowhere in the Word of God. And your emotions are not the same thing as faith. And neither emotions nor possessions are proof of God's love for you. Thanks be to God. Because if they were, what would that mean? Like when trial came, when tribulation, when something awful happened in your life, what would that mean? When you were beset by evil, what would that mean? It would mean that God never loved you to begin with. And if that's the measure, right, if the things that we have are the measure of God's love and favor for us, then not having them, then bad things happening would mean that he was never there for us to begin with. Now maybe you do feel sin's burden, right? Maybe you do feel the pain of affliction, but it seems like God does not answer you. After all, St. Paul prayed how many times did God take away the thorn in his flesh, the messenger of Satan, he calls it? Three times. Three times St. Paul asked that God specifically take this away, this affliction away from him. What does Christ say to him? No. No. My grace made perfect in weakness, in suffering, is sufficient for you. Essentially, he says to St. Paul, if you are going to remain with me, you're going to carry this with you. You're going to carry this in your flesh. You're going to suffer. And here today, in the gospel lection, our Lord even appears to stand opposed to this poor Canaanite mother in silence, in rebuke, and even in insult. Because what does he call her? Calls her a dog. Calls her a dog. Straight up calls her a dog. I know something of the way that this Canaanite woman must have felt. I know I'm inserting my emotions into the text. I don't usually do that, but I know something of this. All those times when the devil right, the world, our fallen flesh, and they rise up with lies and deceptions about who God is. It's at these times when we're weakest, when we're beset like this, that we hear those things more loudly. We hear the devil speak to us louder than he does at other times. Right? Just like he did in Eden. Satan, the ancient dragon, tells you that God's no or not yet means what? That he never loved you in the first place. That he's abandoned you, that he's forgot about you, that he does not care at all. He's left you to fend for yourself in this world impregnated with evil. All you got to do is turn on the TV in the morning to see that. The Holy Cross, my brothers and sisters, though it seems strange and even seems to hurt us at times, it is not contrary to the faith, even though we oftentimes imagine that it is. God disciplines those whom he loves. He scourges every son whom he receives. That's what Hebrews 12 tells us, explicitly tells us this. Why? To fortify you. To make you resist the urges of the flesh, to strengthen you, to purify you, so that you will never fall away from him and turn back to the dark bondage that you and all of creation was in before the incarnation. He desires to bring about in you steadfast faith, immovable faith, and the right confession of him through the lips that you possess to this world, that you would confess him before men. And that comes through training. That doesn't just come naturally. That is hard. By the Holy Cross, Jesus smashes all of your idols, all of your false gods, ripping you away from demonic bondage. And he plants you firmly in his pierced side. Beloved of the Lord, learn steadfast, obstinate faith. And learn how to pray from both your patriarch Jacob and from this Canaanite woman in the gospel today. I mean, in Jacob, I mean, here you have this miserable man, right? This coward of a man. He is a fugitive on the run, running from his own brother because of a stolen birthright. And what happens to him? Yet he wrestles with Jesus Christ himself. He does not let go of Christ until he blesses him. And you know what Jesus does? He does just that. Jesus blesses Jacob. And he gets up to meet his brother Esau, purified and strengthened and made new. So also the Canaanite mother. She holds Jesus Christ to his word and to his promise. She will not let go. She cries out to him, "Be who you are. Be the Son of David, the incarnate Lord, who hears our prayer, who's come to trample Satan, this demon infesting my daughter, underfoot, and to claim victory over death and all of hell. Be who you are," she says to Jesus. "Don't let my enemies triumph over me." She falls down before him in worship to her knees, which is why we kneel too, even to this day. And she clings to what she knows about him. She never gives up, even when her faith is challenged, because it is. It is. It's purified, though, and made to shine like the stars. She makes a good confession. Note also the two parts of that confession. Jesus says this. He says, it's not right to throw the children's bread to the dogs. What does she say? She says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. She agrees with what he says, right? When you confess your sin, do the same thing as this woman. Agree with the Lord. Agree with what he says about sin, what the Bible says about sin. You got to say the same thing that he does, that it's vile, that it's disgusting, that it is separating and distancing you from your God, and it's damning you to hell, and that it requires the healing that only the great physician can bring about. Agree with the Lord. Secondly, then, she confesses her need of his mercy. She says, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Because such is the extravagant loving kindness and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even a crumb, a morsel from his table, is enough. More than enough. But he doesn't just give her a crumb, does he? What does Jesus do? Jesus, who is Yahweh incarnate, standing before her, actually blesses this Canaanite, this Gentile woman, and her daughter, just as Jacob was blessed. You see, they are changed by Christ through trial, and the demons flee. And you, beloved of the Lord, you are more blessed even than they. Don't ever forget that neither do you receive only a crumb. You receive the entirety of the only begotten Son of David and of the Father, given into death upon the holy cross. And his Holy Spirit is breathed out for you. You are a living, breathing tabernacle of God. You house God himself. When you struggle with him in prayer, in trial, in tribulation, whatever it may be, he does not and never will abandon you. That cross he has laid on you is for your sanctification, because you are called in holiness. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character, hope, and hope in Christ never disappoints, the Bible says. No matter what reason or experience or the wisdom of this world may say, you are God's own beloved Son. You are the brother, the sister of Jesus Christ. And as he changed Jacob's name, so he changes your name in holy baptism. And you know what name he gives you? He gives you his own. He gives you his own name forever. He drives the demons far from you in the absolution. He joins himself intimately with you in the Holy Eucharist. No matter what you suffer, what you endure in this life, Jesus brings you through to himself, bestowing his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation upon you. Yes, even you, sinner. Because he is your sacrifice. He is your satisfaction given to open the kingdom of heaven to you once more. He who has wrestled with sin and death and the devil and hell and has gained victory over all of them for you. All things do indeed work together for the good of you, every single person on this earth, and to his glory. So maybe your prayers aren't answered how you desire, how you think they should be, or as soon as you might want them to be. But Jesus does hear your prayer. Right? Maybe they are answered immediately. Maybe even before you ask, God answers your prayer. Or maybe he teaches you trust and patience, because that's what Jesus knows you need to learn from him, to trust in him. And whatever it may be, our Lord Jesus Christ always, always gives more than what is needed. Gives you the forgiveness of your sins by his holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death. He strengthens and fortifies you in himself, both that you can bear your cross in this life and to withstand the further assaults and temptations of hell. Your cries to Jesus Christ, your brother, never go unanswered, never in this life, ever. And if you are a dog at the Lord's table, then what that chiefly means is that Jesus is your loving master who calls you by name to embrace you in his own house, where he calls you good and beloved and holy and just. Your master loves you and feeds you with his own hand, not with crumbs, right? Not even with the bread of the children, but with what? With himself. His blood and body, crucified and raised again. He feeds you with himself. Here we meet our God, and our life is delivered, because he who keeps you never slumbers nor sleeps. He is the shade at your right hand, and he will keep your life. In Jesus' name, amen.